Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2017, and with me today, I have Kelly Gumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm really glad to have you here today. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am doing well, too. And good morning, Kelly.
Hi, John.
It's so nice to have both of you here. It's also nice that we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is GoDaddy, and they have a discount for you guys. I'll let you know what that is soon. But before we get to that, we need to send a shout out to Tom Negrino. Tom has been battling cancer for a long time. He's an amazing man, a great friend, and this is his last day with us.
Yes.
So and that's by choice. So it's sad to see Tom go. It's sad to lose such an amazing talent, someone that's been a pillar in the Apple community for so long.
Yes.
Such an amazing talent. And he's also lucky to have such an amazing person with him through all of this, because Dory is just absolutely wonderful. And anyhow, it's really great that they've been able to have this time together. It's great that we've been able to have this time with both of them. And
yes.
And we'll still be able to share wonderful memories with Dory.
And yes, and I would like to point out that if either of these names sound familiar, check your bookshelf, because both of them have written a number of books. Dory literally wrote the book on JavaScript.
And that's true.
Among many other things, both of them have written lots of books. So if you think maybe Tom Negrino sounds familiar and you're not sure why, that might be why. And both of them are fantastic. And much love to Dory and Tom both today, and much love to Dory in the future.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. So, yeah. Okay. Now, we have other stuff that I want to talk about, too. And so let's move on to something that's kind of cool and exciting. And this is that Apple has a new employee on board, and that's Jonathan Zdarsky. And if you're not familiar with his name, well, now you are, because I just told you. So he is a big name in the security community, and he's been very active for quite a while promoting encryption and security, and he's big in the jailbreak community, and now he works for Apple. And I think this is a really great move on Apple's part, and I'm curious, what do you guys think?
I hope things go well. I follow him. I've been following him on Twitter for a long time, and I like what he does. I suspect he's one of those, I know he's one of those irreverent types, freewheeling, free-spirited, and sort of independent thinker. And while I think it's great that Apple hired him, and I think good things are going to come from it, just in the little guy in the back of my head says, oh, I hope that he doesn't get battened. I hope he doesn't get kind of clamped down by the Apple culture and say, no, this is the way we're going to do things. This is what we want you to do. You know, nose to the grindstone. I just worry about things like that. So I wish him the best, and I hope everything goes okay. And I'm sure he's going to make a great contribution to Apple and help our system security quite a bit.
I'm excited about it because I'm hoping that, John, your scenario is not true, much like you are. In this instance, we agree. I am hoping that the reason they hired him is because he is that guy. If the name Jonathan Zdarsky doesn't sound familiar to you, maybe the name Nerve Gas does, if you're a person who used to jailbreak things back in the day. That's actually how I found out, because it started going around on Twitter, Apple hired Nerve Gas. I'm like, wait, what? So he's the thing I like about Jonathan's approach to stuff is that he's what is generally referred to as a white hat hacker, which means he just thinks it's fun to sort of poke the hole if he can, or, you know, I'm pretty sure he was the kid who like took apart the phone because he wanted to know what the insides did and then was able to put it all back together again.
And it worked.
And yeah, and it totally worked. And I think he's that guy. And I, you know, he was never a person who did anything for like ill intent. Like the whole reason he got into jailbreaking stuff in the first place was that there is so much more that iOS could be doing. And there's not a lot in the jailbreak community now that, that at least that I have seen. I still kind of peek in there once in a while. I used to jailbreak back in the day because I didn't have folders.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also, there was another one that would let you sort of skin iOS so that it looked a little different, or you could have the icons be a little smaller so you could have more on a page, things like that.
Pad?
I did. And then at one point it was a classic Mac skin, which also made me really happy. So I'm excited about it because I hope they sort of just are bringing him in house so that the stuff that he discovers is not made public, so that he can just go fix it or, you know, point it out and they can get it. They can, the turnaround on it is a lot tighter.
I think there's more to it than that.
I think
which
it's
is what
more
I hope
like,
as well.
I think it's not so much the stuff he's discovered getting on board. It's how he helps Apple respond to things other people have discovered. So every once in a while, you read an article about somebody at the what is it, the conference in Las Vegas every year? Is that the Black Hat conference? Yeah. So these people come out with things that they say, well, we've discovered such and such, but we've kept it under wraps until we could notify Apple, and then Apple gets it on the receiving end. You got to have some sort of person on the receiving end who says, aha. Yes, I know all about this, and I know exactly how to fix it, so let's get to work.
I think that's part of it, too. But there is one other piece that I think is very critical to why Apple hired Jonathan, and that's forensics, because he is an iOS forensics expert. He's testified in many cases because of his skill set, and I think that Apple wants to have him on board so that he can tackle hardening privacy from a forensic standpoint, which then extends out to better security just all the way around.
Right, mm-hmm. Which by extension, again, good for us. Mm-hmm. Because remember, this is one of those things that I repeatedly point out when Apple gets on stage and starts showing us new things is Apple is almost excited to tell us all the stuff that they don't know about us, because Apple is not mining Apple users' personal data for things. So I remember that being a thing, particularly when they debuted Apple Pay. They were like, we don't have your credit card number. We will never have your credit card number. You know, Apple Pay doesn't make this a thing where you are carrying around your credit card on your phone. You're carrying around a different thing.
This is why we love Apple. This is why
and,
we love
you know,
the company.
We can't get into iMessage for you. Like, that's not a thing. We don't know. We don't know who you're texting. We don't want to know who you're texting. And those are the things that, yes, John, like you said, this is why we love Apple. This is one of the things I like about them. And what's really funny to me is how people in the old days were really excited about how everyone could have your information and do all this stuff with it. And now that we are in an era where that's actually a thing, the company that keeps getting sort of applauded for this is the company that comes out and says, here's all the stuff that we don't know about you and we don't want to.
You know, companies having all kinds of information on us that they can use in different ways sounded really cool before it really started happening in the efficient way that it does now. And once people got what they thought they wanted, they realized it wasn't exactly what they were hoping for.
I think it's also a matter of security.
When a company makes products that are so desirable and stand on their own and are so creative and aspirational and inspirational, then you don't need to supplement your business model by stealing or acquiring and selling customer data. So whenever I hear about a company that does this, I feel sorry for them because it's just a lack of imagination. It's like, oh, the competition's speeding up on us. Oh, our prices are being driven down. We can't make enough money selling our non-inspirational products. So we have to supplement our revenue streams. So this is how we do it. And it's just such a sorry thing.
Some companies, that's definitely what they're doing. I don't think that's the case for Google. I think they looked at where they can make money.
Not Google.
And Google,
they went in knowing.
Yeah, Google went in thinking, you know, we can get a lot of data, we can mine it, and we can sell it for a lot of money. Let's do this. Yeah. So this is definitely not a supplement for them. But the bigger point for me is that Jonathan coming on board with Apple is a really clear sign that everything Apple has been saying about how serious they are about our security and our privacy. And they've been showing us this, but now that they have Jonathan on board, it's like they've drawn the line in the sand and they're saying, no, seriously, no one is crossing this line. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I think that's great. So, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is GoDaddy. And GoDaddy is the domain registrar that has over 62 million domains that they're managing right now, 14 million customers around the world. And what they want to do is help small business owners get their online presence up and running and make it as good as it possibly can be. So they've put together a bunch of tools that you can use to help get your website up and running. They have 24/7 support available so that you can get that online business running smoothly. And then, yeah, they've got all those tools just to help you make it happen. So here's the deal. They think that you're going to love using their tools, and they want to give you some incentive to do so. So they have a 30% discount that you can take advantage of. And if this is the thing for you, then what you need to do is point your web browser to GoDaddy.com, pick out the new services and products that you want to use from them for your business, and then use the discount code TDO30, that's TDO30, at checkout, and you're going to get 30% off all those new products and services that you just picked out. So that's cool that they're giving people a nice deal. And hey, that's actually pretty awesome that they're a sponsor. So thank you to GoDaddy for being our sponsor. GoDaddy.com. Use that discount code TDO30 to get 30% off your order. Thank you, GoDaddy, for being our sponsor. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about today before we end the show is security, but from a different perspective.
Okay.
So there is this thing overnight where a bunch of Twitter accounts were suddenly starting to spew out some pretty nasty racist statements, all written in Turkish. They even included swastikas, just to give you an idea of how racist this content was. And the companies and people behind these Twitter accounts were kind of freaking out because they weren't posting this stuff, and it certainly wasn't anything that they wanted on their Twitter feeds. So it turns out that there's a Twitter analytics app or service that got hacked, and some people that were using that service fell victim to this. So it made me realize we probably need to remind people that setting up two-factor authentication for whatever account you have today, Twitter, because you don't want to have really nasty stuff showing up in your name on your Twitter account. But setting up two-factor authentication is a really important thing to do. And the reason being is because two-factor authentication uses something you know and something you have. And it occurred to me the other day that for people that just can't wrap their head around it, if you've ever had a storage unit where you've had to keep stuff like when you're moving, that's a form of two-factor authentication. Because you have to have a code to get through the gate, and then you have to have a key to unlock your storage unit. So you have two elements that have to work together to allow you to access content. In this case, all the books and the extra couch and stuff that you threw in storage. So anyhow, we need to be doing this on our Twitter accounts if you haven't already, and you need to do it on your other accounts too. Am I off base here?
Nope.
Not in the least.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. So for Twitter, I wrote up a tip today on how to do this because it takes several steps. But I find it easier to do it from the web interface instead of the Twitter app on your iOS device. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so check out my tip. It explains how to do it. And I'm going to give everyone a little bonus tip right now with that. One of the things that needs to happen before you can enable two-factor authentication on your Twitter account is you have to verify your email address. Even though your email address is not used in the two-step process. So if your email address has not been verified, then it takes a little bit more to actually make that happen, because it's not like you can just click a button and say, send me a verification request. Right. What you have to do is enter a new email address, and then you get the email verification request. And just deleting and retyping your current email address doesn't work. So what I had to do when I set up two-factor authentication for my Twitter account was I entered one of my other email addresses, let it go through the verification process, then re-entered my original email address that I wanted to use, re-verified because now it's a new email address, then I was able mm-hmm. to move forward with the process. So it's kind of stupid that you can't just click a button and have the request sent to your email address, but there you go. So anyhow, need to get your two-factor authentication set up. Do you guys have other tips to go along with that? I'm totally putting you on the spot.
One of the things I was thinking about this morning in the staff meeting when we were talking was it pays not to be too curious about things, because whetting people's appetites and making them curious is a good technique for phishing and subverting people's interests. So when you see a tweet or an email or something that says, oh, this service will tell you something very interesting about your Twitter followers, all you have to do is log on with your Twitter credentials. You know, think about whether you really, really need to use your credentials for one site to log on to another site, because there's always some gotcha going on there.
And I would point out that there are a lot, every time that you click that button that says log in with Twitter or log in with Facebook, mm-hmm. That account or that place where you have logged in could also be affected if somebody were to get that password. So if you are a person who uses log in with Twitter frequently on things and say I end up getting a hold of your password, then I can also log into Twitter, you know, log in with Twitter on all those places where you logged in with Twitter. And the same goes for Facebook. So you definitely want to review those occasionally and see whether or not these are things that you still want to be able to log into. Particularly with Twitter, a long time ago, and I mean a long time ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago now, there were a lot of services that started up built around Twitter. So like John was saying, you know, find out information about your followers and da, 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 da. There were a lot of things that started out as a built into, you know, built on top of Twitter information. So you may want to go in and look at what all of those applications are that have permission to use your Twitter login or your Facebook login or any other sort of login.
Yeah.
And double check those. And if you don't remember what that's called, like if you look at a name of an app or something and you don't recognize it, then go ahead and take it off. Because the worst that will happen is the next time you go to that site, if it's something that you visit regularly or use regularly, it'll say, hey, I can't log in anymore. You need to, you know, authenticate again, which isn't a big deal.
That's excellent advice. We're out of time, but what I'm going to do is give people a really quick how-to on finding that. So if you're logged into your Twitter account on the website, and I like doing this from the website because I just think it's an easier interface for this sort of stuff, but also not everyone has Twitter's native apps. So if I tell you how to do it here everyone can do it.
Right.
So log in to your Twitter account in your favorite web browser. Upper right-hand corner, click on your little avatar of your face or whatever your avatar is, and then choose Profiles and Settings. And then if you choose Apps from the screen that comes up, you get a list of every app that has access to your Twitter account. And anything that you see in there that you don't think should be there anymore, just click Revoke Access and you're done. The thing that I mentioned earlier about turning on two-factor authentication, same place, except instead of choosing apps, you choose account. And then you can get that set up. And two-factor authentication, totally turn it on. Kelly, excellent advice about doing a little audit on what apps and services have access to your Twitter account, too. And
let me point out that you can extend this to everyone really quick. You can extend this to lots and lots of places by going to mypermissions.org. Ooh. And when you go there, there's that there's a tile of a bunch of icons, one for Facebook, one for Twitter, one for Google, Yahoo, LinkedIn, Dropbox, all these different places. And it doesn't take any information from you. You just click on it and it automatically takes you to the preferences for that particular service so that you can go and adjust those preferences if you need to. It also doesn't hurt to adjust your password. And maybe now is the time to look at getting a password manager if you don't have one already, or spend a little time really learning how the one that you have actually works so that you can use it. And the follow-up to that, to bring the show full circle, is, if something were to happen to you and you were no longer able to log into Facebook or log into Twitter yourself, and someone else needs to do that for you for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, Facebook or whether it's the site where you pay the electric bill every month, these are really important pieces of information, and you should make sure that somebody else will be able to have access to those things if something were to happen to you.
Excellent advice. Yeah. So, hey, thank you for being here today, Kelly.
You're more than welcome, Jeff. It was my pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Happy to be here. Bye, Kelly.
Aww. Bye, John.
Aww. GoDaddy, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, GoDaddy.com, and you can use the discount code TDO30 to get 30% off the new products that you order through them. So thank you, GoDaddy, for being our sponsor. Listeners, thank you for joining us. See everyone again tomorrow.